Welcome to AUP Radio, a melting pot of voices and ideas. Starting off our 10th and final week this season, we bring you Spoiler Alert, Petit Four, and Paris to Patagonia.
Hi, welcome to our last episode of Spoiler Alert for the 2019 year. We're your hosts, Eric,
Christian,
and Cassidy.
And today in the studio, we're joined by a guest.
Ula.
Yeah, and Ula. So you go to AUP, right?
Yes.
Where are you from, Ula?
I'm from Poland, Warsaw, Poland.
Wow, that's a cool place. Not too far. And so, Ula, you were a former film major, right?
Yeah, I switched to business like a month ago, and I was going to double major, and now I'm minoring in film.
And so you like film a lot, right?
Yeah, I want to do film production.
Yeah, so me and Ula are actually in the same film class with Valerio, Italian cinema.
Yeah.
Which is a really interesting class because the movies we watch in there are some are interesting and some are they're all good.
They're very Italian.
They're very Italian.
I was just gonna say that. Wow.
yes. There's this. Wait, do you guys know the movie My Great Beauty?
No,
I do not.
Or
did you watch Il Postino?
Did we? I don't know.
That's the only Italian movie I've seen.
It kind of sounds familiar, but also we watched The Fistful of Dollars.
I don't know what that is.
You know The Good, the Bad, the Ugly?
Oh, yeah.
It's like one of those. Yeah, it's like one of those Sergio Leone Western films. So, yeah, there's some good movies that we watch, and there's some good Italian movies. But, yeah, so, Cassidy, what's the date right now?
December 2nd.
What year?
2019.
Wow, that's crazy, right? What does that mean?
That means that we're coming to the end of a decade.
The end of a decade. That's a really big deal. And the last decade has had a lot of movies, right?
Many, many movies.
I'd say that is fairly accurate. There have indeed been a lot of movies.
There have been a lot of movies of the last
decade. Decade's a long time.
So, today we've all sort of prepared a group or list of films that we liked, that were our favorite, and most we thought were influential over the last decade. So, does anyone want to start?
I feel like we should sort of like alternate movies.
Yeah,
I agree. Each take turns.
Good idea.
If you don't mind, I'd like to go first because mine kind of counts.
So this one's five. This one's five for you, right?
No, we should alternate per movie.
Yeah. Per movie? All right. Okay.
Everyone says a movie.
The first movie I'm going to put forward, I think it kind of counts because its release date was December 2009, but the majority of its time in theaters was 2010.
Is that
James Cameron's Avatar?
I was literally going to say Avatar. I was like, is that Avatar?
It is Avatar, and
that makes sense though. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I would count it as a 2010 movie.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty late in the year. So why did you choose that movie?
Well, besides the fact that for the majority of the decade until this year, it was the highest grossing film of all time, it like was the most revolutionary CG movie I think ever.
Yeah, I do remember that.
I don't think anything's even come close to being as big of a leap forward as Avatar was.
And the box office was insane too.
Yeah, the box office was really crazy. Yeah.
It's funny because I don't even think Avatar had. Sorry, I cut you off, Cassidy. I did.
No, it's your movie. Go.
Avatar didn't actually have as huge of an opening as some movies, but it had like ridiculous legs towards the tail end of its box office run. Like
right.
It stayed in theaters for like 8 months.
Yeah. I mean, obviously it made so much money, you know?
Yeah. Surprise. I haven't seen that one.
Really? No, Cassidy? Way. Really?
That's kind of
so
my trademark.
We'll add
now.
It to the list.
But even though I haven't seen it, like the amount of like things I've heard about it, I think just shows how influential it was.
Yeah. It's a pretty like, I mean, honestly, I feel like nowadays, the later we sort of go, people are like, oh yeah, well it's kind of a dumb movie. I've heard a lot of people that say it's basically just like Pocahontas in space.
Have you guys seen the SNL skit about with Ryan Gosling about the Avatar logo?
Yeah, Papyrus, right? Yeah, that was really funny.
I actually don't think I've seen that.
It's on YouTube. You should
watch it.
It's really funny. He's like crazy because he's trying to find the Avatar logo. But yeah, okay. So, Cassidy, do you have your next movie?
I do. I just want to make an announcement first. So, I think we all know I haven't seen many movies. I've kind of only started paying attention to movies in the past like 2 years, so right. I haven't seen many movies of the decade, but I do think Inception is definitely like, even though I just saw it, I think Inception's one of the influential movies of
it's
the decade.
It's a pretty crazy movie. Yeah, I definitely debated putting that on my list for sure. And why'd you choose Inception?
Just again with Avatar, just like the amount I've heard about it, and it's just like such a quotable,
iconic.
Yeah, it's just a really iconic movie. Everyone is always talking about Inception.
Right. Yeah, it has some very iconic like shots. Like, that you see all over the place.
Yeah.
And it like really messes with your head, which I think a lot of movies.
But it's also like one of those movies that you watch like over and over. And every time you watch it, you notice more and more things.
Yeah, that's Christopher Nolan right there. Which he's been a big featured director on our show.
The
show is like spoiler alert featuring Christopher Nolan.
Yeah, we should definitely try to get him on the show.
Oh yeah, I'm sure he'll pull up.
Yeah, he will. He will.
He's got nothing to do.
All right, now Ula, what's your movie?
Okay, mine are more low key than yours, but they're still like very well known movies. The first one's Moonlight, Barry Jenkins.
Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah,
that won Best Picture, didn't it?
Yeah, it did.
The whole debacle.
The whole scandal.
It's funny because I put La La Land on mine.
Put La La Land on mine.
Okay, I mean, I think they're influential for very different reasons.
Yeah. So why'd you put Moonlight on?
Moonlight because one, like everything about it, screenplay, directing, DP, like everything is amazing. And also most of my, like the movies that I chose were influential because of like the themes that they explore. So Moonlight being like black, queer,
definitely.
Yeah, it's
male, which is like not shown in mainstream movies as much, even though I don't know if you can consider Moonlight a mainstream movie, but it got to the mainstream because of like how amazing it was. Mm-hmm. Right. And also like Oscars, obviously.
Yeah, yeah. It was definitely really like a well-known movie by the time the Oscars came.
Yeah, I actually have not seen it, so I think that's definitely...
So you should see it. It's a good movie. It's a really good movie.
Actually, on that note, I haven't seen La La Land either.
Oh, my God.
So I'm really going to
catch Yeah, but that I don't recommend as much. I mean, like...
Okay, well, here's the thing. I put La La Land as my movie.
Oh, God.
As, like, my... out of my list, it was the last one on my list. But, like, I put La La Land on there for this reason. Because I feel like a lot of movies now, after La La Land was released, have become more musical. Like, I kind of think it brought back... Yeah.
How so?
I feel like... I don't know.
I know what you mean. Like, movies about music.
Yeah. I feel like more of those have come about after La La Land, right?
Like
so,
what?
Like, specifically... A Star is Born.
Whiplash, like, Bohemian Rhapsody.
I think Whiplash was before. But Bohemian Rhapsody, The Greatest Showman. Like, these were all musicals in a genre that existed before, but I feel like more of these movies have been released now because of La La Land, in a sense. And so, all right, that's our first movie. We'll circle back around. So starting with you, Chris.
All right, this movie, I'm sure you've probably all at least heard about it, is Star Wars The Force Awakens.
Really?
Oh, I actually haven't heard that one.
The reason I have it on here is because I cannot remember a movie besides Avengers Endgame that has been as giant of a hype machine
as Star Wars The Force Awakens was.
Because if you think about it, do you remember when the first teaser trailer for The Force Awakens came out? When they showed the Millennium Falcon with the Star Wars theme in the background, it got millions and millions
really
of views.
Deal.
And it's still the highest grossing domestic, like in the U.S. Film of all time. And even though I thought the reviews for it were very interesting because at the beginning they were overwhelmingly positive, and then you kind of had a group of people who really dislike it kind of surface up, and now it seems the reviews are kind of mixed. So that's my number two movie. I don't know what your personal opinion is of it, but I don't think it's possible to deny that it was influential.
Yeah.
No, it definitely was.
That, I think you can talk about like the influence of franchises in general, Avengers, Harry Potter, Lord of the Rings, like all of those are kind of like the franchises
of the decade.
That's interesting because
some of those movies are on my list.
Yeah, obviously.
I have one Marvel film on my list.
I think you can talk about the influence of the franchise concept in the last decade, but I don't know if with any of these movies you can take one of them and be like, this was the most influential.
I think there's
There's one.
And yeah, I feel like we're thinking same, of the I think same we're thinking of the
oh
same
God.
One.
If you're thinking about Harry Potter.
No. But for me, this one was like my number one because it was so successful and it was so experimental. So I'm going to wait to come back to that one.
Okay.
However, we might have the same
oh my
one.
God, you're going to... Wait, are you going to talk about what is it called?
Guardians of the Galaxy.
You talked about that so many times. I actually watched it for the first time this week. Yeah.
It's a good movie. It's not a good film, but it's not on my list. It's not on my list either.
But
for me, this was about influence, not about quality.
However, Cassidy,
my list is kind of a mix of influence and quality, and also mine aren't in any particular order. Like I don't think.
Oh, neither am I.
That's fine.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Okay, but number two for me is Lady Bird.
Ooh.
That's one of my favorite movies ever, and I think it was really influential for the targeted demographic.
Yeah.
And I love Greta Gerwig, the director.
Did you see?
Francis Ha.
Remember. Yeah.
Yeah, it's also one of my favorite movies. It's also on my list.
What?
Francis Ha. It's another Greta Gerwig movie. It's really good. It's in black and white, and it's just really cute and quirky like Greta Gerwig. But the screenplay is very similar to Lady Bird. But yeah, I just really like Lady Bird, and I know all my friends who are into indie films are big fans of Lady Bird, and I think it was really influential in that scene and for the targeted demographic. So yeah, it's one of mine.
I mean, I really liked it, and I actually put Calling by Your Name on my list, which I feel like is a similar vibe.
Definitely.
The indie, but made it to popular culture.
Yeah.
And also explored female sexuality and I'm talking about Lady Bird obviously but talked about kind of the niche more quirky side of indie cinema and the fact that it made it to popular culture was also surprising. I wasn't expecting I watched the movie and I was oh okay, this is not what I expected from the trailer and the way it was portrayed to the media and stuff.
So my next movie is a little bit different from those. It's Mad Max Fury Road.
Oh, that's a good one.
Just because of the visual style of it, I think was really influential at the time.
I actually think it was probably one of the best films of the decade period.
Yeah.
It was really... Now, that depends on, of course, a matter of opinion.
Yeah, that also depends on the factors you consider when you talk about best.
Yeah.
Movie.
That's true. That is true. It's very subjective.
That's kind of my standards have always been pure. Does the movie entertain me?
Entertainment. Okay.
Yeah.
That's different. I feel like even if you talk about cinema versus film, if you can even distinguish just by the words, but that's so different. Films for entertainment versus film for the artistic quality of it is so different.
Yeah, I completely agree. That's why it's my personal opinion. It's just that's the way I enjoy films.
Wait,
so.
Did anybody put Get Out on their list?
I did. I put Get Out and Us.
I put Get Out.
That was so.
I was very tempted to put Get Out.
I mean, I don't watch horror movies at all, so I only watch parts of them for pure artistic reasons. But I can't say that it's entertainment for me.
But Get Out is really good.
Yeah, but they're amazing movies. Jordan Peele is quality.
How many of you put Get Out on your list?
I put.
So we had two people.
Yeah.
Well, I'll move into movie number three, which is a movie we've talked about on this show. And you're going to have to give me a little bit of time to explain why it's influential, because you're not going to agree when I first say it.
Okay.
Interstellar. And
the
reason it's influential is actually nothing to do with the scene of the film scene. The CG of the black hole that they produced in that movie produced groundbreaking scientific discoveries in the field of astronomy
and astrophysics.
Really? From
that movie?
Yes.
When
they put that all in the simulation and created the CG for the black hole, it was the first time anyone had seen a black hole like that.
Yeah, well,
and it was actually groundbreaking for the scientific community. And if you look it up, it's an extremely interesting read. And not only that, but I also think it was an incredible film.
It is a good film. That's a good movie.
So that's why it made my list. Not necessarily... it's not the single best or most influential film of the decade, but for that reason, I think it makes a list.
Yeah.
I wouldn't disagree. I mean, yeah, I think like in the age of like CG and space movies with that, like that gravity and what, like Mars and stuff, all the Martian.
Yeah. See, yeah. I would have like put the Martian before I would have put Interstellar.
I kind of agree, but it's a different style of film, I feel like. Even though they're both like artistic, but like entertainment, but like acting, but like this, but they're not like I feel like space movies are a different type of cinema because they don't only talk about like emotions and stuff.
Yeah, they talk about
about like they're kind of like science fiction, but not, you know what I mean? Because like.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
Neil deGrasse Tyson has, like, said how happy he is about Interstellar and The Martian because it's, like, this idea of scientific literacy that's, like, really popular, that people will, like, go to see a movie based on science.
Yeah, and one of the quotes that I actually remember from him saying is that these movies are by no means perfect representations of the natural world, but they base their premise in real science and then fictionalize to kind of make the story entertaining, but everything comes from a scientific base.
And because it's true, but you can't go out and see it on your own if you're not an astronaut. Astronaut, obviously. I feel like it gives enough space for like imagination to happen within like reality, which is like kind of cool when talking about.
It's cool. Yeah, that's cool, interesting. Yeah. That's an interesting choice. That's an interesting choice. So, Cassie, what about you? What's your?
Yeah. So, when I was trying to form my list, I was looking at other lists, which I'm sure you guys may have done. And
I peeked at some other lists.
Some other lists that other people or websites have done. And I was surprised to see that in like the top five of almost every list I saw was The Social Network.
Oh, really?
Which we also talked about.
Which at first I was surprised because don't get me wrong, I love that movie.
It's a good movie.
But after I was thinking, like it was made in 2010, I believe.
Yeah.
It really is like pretty influential in the sense that like it described not that the whole thing was solely about Facebook, is more about
technology
because in this past decade technology has advanced so much and it's kind of like
I feel like it's a really interesting topic right now, even with like the TED Talks and like how much we go on social media and like media in general to find information about the tech world. Because I don't think like as regular people, quote unquote, we can understand what goes on behind the scenes. And I feel like Social Network was such an interesting like look behind like what you think those like geniuses that make these big companies happen. It was like business and marketing and tech.
It really like humanized that whole thing.
Yeah, no, I definitely think so.
Yeah. So I don't know if I'd put in terms of influential, I'd put it on my list. But actually, no, maybe I did.
I mean, it is. A
I
good
did
movie.
Really love
it
that
is
movie.
A good movie. Yeah.
But it's just funny because I didn't even think of it until, and I'm surprised that so many other people also think it deserves to be on the list.
And so, Ula, what about you? What's your third contribution?
Okay, wait. I talked about a few already. I talked about Call Me by Your Name, kind of.
Wait, can we talk about Call Me by Your Name?
Yeah, let's talk about Call Me by Your Name. I mean, again, like queer masculinity is like such an interesting topic. Right now in this decade, because it's like so not explored
in
general.
Like, out now about it and sort of like as a first kind of ground.
Yeah, but again, it was like a very much white perspective, and like a Hollywood actor's perspective. So I don't know if I'd talk about. It's not groundbreaking in that sense, but it was still like so influential because it started as an indie movie and it talked about, it was so beautiful too, and it like even like the peach scene, I'm sure all of you know about it, is so like beautiful and like vulnerable too. I feel like it was definitely an influential movie in regards to like what you can show and what people will find entertain and not just entertaining but also like interesting and like beautiful to watch, and like in such a like vulnerable way. Like I watched it with my mom, so that was not a great idea. Yeah, but also like kind of like opened a lot of doors to talk about
things. I love how she's just like, yeah, that was not a great idea.
No, but it was a really interesting experience to do that, to like start talking about certain things that you wouldn't talk about with your family.
No, definitely. That makes sense.
And also, if it makes you feel better, my dad took me to see Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah, I saw Wolf of Wall Street with my mom and my dad. God, it was so awkward. Yeah,
that's
very different.
That's
though.
Interesting yeah, very different. In a different way though, yeah. because I feel like that's such
a different
aggressive
kind of shock value.
Yeah, yes. aggressive sex yes. and like violence and drugs and in a way that like being vulnerable about queerness isn't. You know,
yeah.
I feel like that's yeah. like oh haha that's awkward because I'm seeing this guy like what snort coke of someone's butt is different than like I'm seeing these two men like fall in love in like an intimate way.
No, definitely,
know?
Definitely.
No, I 100% agree.
No, but I guess that would probably be awkward too.
If you just tuned in, this is Spoiler Alert on AUP Radio, brought to you by WRP. It's 9:20.
Yeah. No.
To,
yeah.
To
all right. But Eric, my
second? Well, my third was Get Out, right? Which we've sort of talked about.
Yeah,
Get Out.
Drunk
very.
Peel.
Yes. My second. Now we talked about this movie. Last week.
This is like a recap now.
This isn't Tron. This is an animated movie. All right. My second most influential movie of the decade was Frozen.
Ooh.
That's funny.
That was on so many lists, too.
That's so funny you say that because I was thinking about putting
because
that on
just,
my list.
Just think about it for a second.
That was so influential.
Think of how much culture like we have around Frozen. Like, look at all like the parades and like Christmas stuff. Think
how much,
of how
get,
much
Let It
of
Go
that.
Is stamped
the,
in your brain.
Yes. Yeah, Let It Go. Yes.
That
think
movie
how
was
much,
definitely very, very
So, yeah, it's very, it's not like, I feel like it's less influential on
and
cinema.
And you know what? I'll say it. It was really good.
It was really good.
Yeah, but then if you talk about like Lion King, for example, too, like it's the same kind of like
Lion King wasn't this
it wasn't
decade.
This
it was
decade.
Less
no
what,
but
really?
This
you mean
this
the
Lion King
film?
No but
yeah,
this
right.
but this Lion King
like the,
even
the
was
CGI.
Still yeah
yeah but like that's it. Here's the thing about that though, it's like it's not really like new in a way,
yeah,
but like Frozen was like original,
you know. Another
yeah but like what's also, what's really original about that movie, it's just done in a purely entertaining way for
yeah,
kids
that's
to
true.
Like
No, but I'm saying it's like an original story. So
no,
like,
I agree with the with
well,
the,
I don't think
with
it's
the premise that it's
oh,
I don't know.
All the Disney stories are based off
yeah.
like other stories they
yeah,
do.
Yeah, exactly.
Still.
I agree there I agree it's influential to culture right now, but I don't agree that it's good or like has some like quality value or
I just
none of
look,
that.
Say
I just
what
like
you will
songs,
about the quality
fun.
Of the movie.
The songs
and,
are fun.
And like the cheesiness of it, there is no denying. It's like super influential.
Oh yeah,
movie.
Of course.
No, yeah,
yeah
I said I agree.
I enjoy
Another,
I mean, it's
another
as much as the next guy.
Another Disney movie, actually, that I just thought of right now after you said that was Inside Out, which
yeah,
I think was.
But
was,
I honestly was thinking about Inside Out too.
Was
but
that
I,
that was this decade, right?
That was yeah. this decade. That was only a couple of years ago. But I honestly don't think Inside Out is as like big. Like think of
oh
like,
no, definitely not big. But like, I just thought it was
yeah.
really interesting. It brought up the topics of like mental health
yeah,
and like
exactly
a kid's
and
movie.
Like feelings and stuff.
Yeah,
like that.
I thought yeah.
Yeah, but okay. What were your guys' second or fourth contribution?
I think
oh
for
God,
me this
I
is
have
four.
So many.
For
I
me,
just put way too many movies just in case.
Well, this one, Eric,
good,
I think you might have it too. But it is the movie that without it, this entire decade would like the movie
wait,
escape would
wait,
be completely
if
different.
Say it at the same time.
Say
it at the same time.
Say it at the same time.
Three, two, one.
Avengers 1.
Oh
Avengers
yeah,
1.
Yeah, the original
the 2012
okay.
Avengers.
That's my number one, and I'll explain why.
Yeah. Like, can I go
yeah,
forward?
Yeah.
This movie, if Avengers 2012 had bombed, none of the rest of the MCU would have happened.
Right, so we're talking about multiple.
Talking about like
billions.
Two dozen movies.
We're talking about like billions and billions and billions of dollars that have been made off of the success of one movie. And like also how much content has been created.
Yeah.
Not just in Disney, but like in everything else that like rivals Disney
yeah.
have now like based their model off of how Disney did it. So there actually is kind of no denying. This is
yeah.
definitely the most... I don't know if you two agree, but...
I mean, I also kind of put Black Panther on my list, but not really put it there. But I was thinking about it. So I guess that kind of, like, you make sense with the fact that it wouldn't have been made if not for the success.
Yeah. And I would say Black Panther was much more significant culturally,
yeah.
I think. And I don't think anyone's denying that. I think... But as far as, like, overall scope and impact, that's why I gave the nod to... Mm-hmm. To Avengers. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I haven't kept up with the Avengers, but even I know that how like
pretty
impactful
tough.
It is.
Yeah, it's
how impactful it is in pop culture and
it was definitely like, yeah, I definitely do think there is no denying that that's number one, but I'm interested in this, to think what your other choice, what your other contribution to this list is, Chris. Because you did you rank these?
These are not in order.
But would you say Avengers is more?
I would say if I were to pick one movie that was the most influential of the decade, it would probably be Avengers.
Yeah, yeah. So that's what I said. That's where I. So now I'm out. Now I'm done.
You're
that's,
done.
That's
you're,
all my.
You're all,
movies
of, you're all out of movies.
That's my.
All
right. Movies oh my God, right
I so I have one. I have one more left. Cassidy, or how many do you have?
I have two more. Two more.
All right, Cassidy, give your next one.
Okay. My other one is a Wes Anderson movie. It's
Grand Budapest.
Grand Budapest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought about putting that one on there too.
Why?
Because I like it.
No, but apart from the fact that you
like it.
Because I think it's
when
cool.
When I ask people if they know Wes Anderson, usually like that's like the most popular.
No, Fantastic Mr. Fox is what I think of. But.
Okay, but in general, if you were to say why you find that one most influential.
I mean, I don't know if it was that influential. Well, because I just said, I feel like it's, I don't know, it's what most people think of when they think of Wes Anderson.
Yeah, no, I could see that too.
I understand that. But then, like, there's so many good directors.
I'm not saying he's the best director in the world. I just think that it's okay, fine. You go next.
So you liked it.
Yeah, I liked it.
Okay.
I
can see why.
Right, Ula, what's your next movie?
It is pretty. It's aesthetically pleasing.
It's aesthetically pleasing. That's true. That's the only thing I think you can say.
Whoa.
About it.
Whoa.
Okay.
Whoa.
You know,
wait, those are fighting words.
Next semester, y'all might have to have Ula on and hear about this beef with the Grand
Budapest. Yeah, Ula, we don't have enough time to explore this, but I'm very, very curious as to why.
Not a beef.
It sounded like a beef.
Sounds like a beef.
Okay, Chris, what's yours?
Oh, I was going to say what's Ula's next. Because I only have one more.
Okay. Okay, well, I mean, I was going to talk about Joker, but that just came out, so it's fairly new. So I don't know if you want to talk about it. But also Green Book, Peter Farrelly's.
Green Book.
There's so many. The Danish Girl.
The Danish Girl. I know that movie.
And then Roma. Oh, my God. Roma. Yeah.
That was a great movie.
Cuaron's movie.
Yes. But a lot of those movies that you just
really
named are all, like, within the last 3
years.
Yeah.
They are. I know, but that's what I found. Because there's so many. Like, how can you...
Yeah, there's a lot
when
of
I went back, it's like, they're good, but I can only, like, think right now what's, like, so influential.
There's literally... Just think of, like, all of the movies that have been in the last decade. Yeah, like, 12 Years
Even
a Slave.
Even the last 2 years. Like, oh, yeah.
Argo,
12 Years a Slave.
Oh my God,
Argo.
I was this close
on,
to putting
like,
Argo
so
on
many
my
lists.
List.
Dude, Argo too. Argo is a great movie about the hostage crisis in Iran, I'm so bad at names. With what's his name?
Ben Affleck.
Also,
Matt Damon's other.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I would just like to say I think the problem that I had, especially with choosing recent films, is just the idea that recency bias could be what's causing you to elevated
that's
in your
that's
eyes.
True that's why I said those like at once because I feel like if I were to choose a single one out of them to be like the most influential I don't think I would
that's actually 100% why I left Joker off my list is I was afraid it was recency bias.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
but
also, I feel like
if we look back in 5 years, I feel like that.
Yeah, but like
yeah, I feel like it's very. Possible.
I think it's yet to come to see what the impact of.
Yeah, that's
will
true.
Be.
I feel like it'll be influential.
But I think it has such a potential because of like the themes of really exploring mental illness.
Yeah.
In like a pop culture way because it's so well known of like the Batman franchise.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah, of course. No, definitely. But they would not have made a Joker movie if there was no Avengers.
That's probably true.
Wasn't Batman before Avengers?
No, but like
but Joker's like not is part of like the DC universe, which is kind of mimicking the Marvel universe.
So
okay.
Like success
yeah,
in the
but
Marvel
the,
universe.
Wasn't the weren't like the other movies before Avengers popular too?
There was the Dark Knight trilogy, but it ended. You know,
but like, they also weren't like connected like the same way that they I feel like they only take risks now like because
I know what you mean
anyway right. My final movie
is
I think the horror movie of the decade which is A Quiet Place.
Oh,
I forgot about that one.
Really?
Yes, I also forgot about A Quiet Place.
That was definitely very influential.
A Quiet Place, I think, is one of the single best theater experiences I will ever have in my entire life.
Yeah, that movie was really good.
Wow.
With James Krasinski.
It was his directorial debut.
Yeah, it was.
What a debut. What a debut it was.
Making a second one.
Oh, actually?
I mean, you could hear a pin drop in that theater. It was truly astonishing, and I think
that's amazing sound design though too.
Yeah, I also think sort of the impact it's had on horror movies since is there. I don't know if it's massive, but I think it's kind of paved the way for more PG-13 horror movies, which I really enjoy.
Yeah, and Cassie, what's your final movie?
This is one I've talked about before as a recommendation, so you know why I love it, but it's Her.
Her, yeah. Yes. You've recommended this like multiple times.
Joaquin Phoenix.
Yeah. I just like the way I felt after watching that movie.
Wait, but is it like Midsommar?
No, not at all. Midsommar, very good. We know about that, but you guys.
Yeah, well, you know my feelings on
Midsommar. Yes, we have vocally.
Yeah. Anyway,
do we
still have time? Is that?
Do we have time? Ula, you want to give one more real fast or?
Me? I can't choose one now.
Just like super
fast. I was
going to
talk about Boyhood,
fast.
Too. Oh, Boyhood's really
Boyhood's
good.
A good
yeah.
movie. Yes, very influential.
Yes. And Boyhood took a lot of time to make, so that's...
Yes, it did.
Anyway,
it did.
Unfortunately, for all of you listeners, this is actually my last show on Spoiler.
Yes, Chris,
I'll
will miss you very much.
Next semester.
Eric's like, yes!
No, I'm really upset because now it's just going to be... Well, me and Cassie will be returning, and... with another host who we don't know yet. TBA. But yeah, it's gonna be sad because me and Chris will no longer get to.
Maybe you can call in.
I will no longer get to interrupt you.
we'll no longer get to give Cassie crap about not seeing popular movies.
Yeah.
It'll be sad. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you for listening.
Semester.
Yes, we'll see you in 2020 in the next decade. Yeah, it's pretty crazy to say. All right, we're your hosts. Signing off. Thank you. And thank you to Ula, too,
Thanks.
For coming.
Thanks, Ula.
Thank you.
All right. Hi, this is Fiona McMurray, the deputy producer for AUP Radio, and we're here today with PT4, where we give you bite-sized information that we've experienced this week, in this case, we're doing a retrospective, because it is the last month of 2019.
The last week we're recording.
Last week we're recording
and the last
as well.
We're recording, that's right.
Oh my God.
Week 10 on the air.
Yep.
Petit Fool episode 10.
Wow, it's been 10 episodes.
Yeah, it has.
Very exciting.
Full on series now.
It's kind of interesting how it lines up with the whole decade thing.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, 10 episodes.
Yep.
10 years we're rounding out here.
Yep.
That's what I'm saying. So we wanted to take this show to have a look at some of the more positive trends over the last decade, because oftentimes the news we've brought you has not been so happy. So who would like to kick it off today?
You know what? I'll give it a go. So for me, something that's changed for the better, at least, over the past 10 years, I think, is if we're going to go kind of vague here, in general, I think human rights have gotten better, because... I think it's been really awesome to see people be more vocal and persistent about their pursuit for equality in so many different manners. For me, the first thing I can think of, like, gay marriage was not legalized 10 years ago. It was legalized in 2015.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Like, 10 years ago, it wasn't even legal to get married if you were LGBTQ.
Yeah, in the US.
Yeah, which is crazy. So, I look at things like that and the Me Too movement, and I see how far we've come. Granted, we always have farther to go, but I think we can look back on that with a positive perspective and see how far we've come. Mm-hmm. And I think it's all due to the people who have had the courage to stand up and use their voice and protest and, really be the stars of these movements.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I read this article in The Guardian. It also championed that this is the first time that the youth have been so active in politics and activism since the Vietnam War, basically.
Which, isn't it so crazy to think, like, when I thought of protest 10 years ago, if you would have said protest, I would have thought about like the 60s and 70s where everybody was holding up peace and love signs. And they were protesting the Vietnam War. And here we are, almost
witnessing a
40, 50 years later.
A huge moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know, and it's always, I think we spoke about this on air a few weeks ago, but whenever, you know, the older generation kind of looks down on the younger generation and says, you know, can't believe you guys are going to have to deal with this world. It's so sad. It's so cruel. And it's kind of like, you know, just watch us, you know, just wait and see, especially all those climate, because I've gone to a few climate conferences and it's really interesting to see the dynamic between the youth and the elders. Obviously, there's some elders that are very, you know, excited to see the generation kind of take this hands on and change the planet. But it's interesting.
Yeah. And to the rest, you say, OK, boomer.
Mm. Yeah.
Elise, what is your positive takeaway from the decade?
Yeah, so like Savannah, I think there's some really great, you know, social movements going on in terms of, you know, female rights. The fact that we also had the first Black president ever in the United States, that was extremely exciting. The current president, not so exciting, but whatever.
We're gonna stay.
We're gonna stay positive. And also, you know, all these different, as I just mentioned, you know, the whole thing concerning the climate. You know, where will we end up? I think it's really exciting that all these youngsters and, you know, all these youths are really aiming to change the planet for the better. And so I think it's really exciting to see where, I think we just have to stay positive. I think that's the biggest takeaway from all of this. So I'm excited to see, you know, what comes next.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. What do you have to contribute, Fiona?
Well, mine's particularly about the environment. I really tried to keep it positive, but I mean, obviously there's so many studies that are, you know, condemning us and we'll, you know, there's all that. But particularly this really has been the decade of activism on every front. And that's primarily what I was doing some stuff about. And I mean, I know as somebody who's attended protests like all of her life, it's fantastic to see that there's a normalization of protests. Like, this has really been the decade. This has been the year where we're finally saying, you know, we're going to change what we can't, like what is ostensibly beyond our control. We are finally going to be the change. And I really love seeing that in this decade, because I think that the one before this, there was a lot of superficiality. Obviously, that's increased the social media for this one. But at the same time, we also have a broader scope of communication. We can also we can emphasize all these tragedies and other things and all these human rights issues that we couldn't necessarily access before. Like, we know what's going on in China right now with
the Uyghurs.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm. And like, we know what's going on throughout the world and like what recently happened in Iran and other places that we wouldn't necessarily have been able to communicate about before.
Yeah, and I think that we're in a really incredible city to be able to visualize mm-hmm. all of these things happening right in front of us. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know Paris is known for having its strikes, but it's really cool to be able to be a part of it.
Absolutely. And to my positive trend over the last 10 years, it's on gender equality, surprise, surprise. And the World Economic Forum found that over 10 years, the gender attitudes or attitudes toward gender equality have steadily increased. So we have, for example, according to different metrics, for example, the percentage of Americans who believe that women and men are equally suited to politics has jumped from 48% in 1977 to 76% in 2012. And this is coming at a critical time because, as we know, with the next decade, we will have another president. So that's my contribution to the positive take on the world as it stands coming out of this decade. So what do you see looking ahead?
I mean, the future can seem very bleak. But I think this goes along with everything that we've added here, is that we've seen such a surge in movements in the last 10 years, and I see that continuing. Mm-hmm. And I think that we have reason to be hopeful because of how involved everyone is.
I completely agree with you. I mean, if you just look at the amount of advancements that have been made in every type of industry, from tech to, you know, socio-political, I don't know. I think we should all be extremely positive about this future and have hope, because I think if there's no hope, you know, it's quite scary to think.
Yeah.
What could come our way? So
yeah, I think we have to look at the progress that we've made and continue on with that spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely. I think that all this action that we've been seeing in the past year, specifically the past 2 years, I think it's going to continue on into mm-hmm. the next decade. And it's going to, if anything, it's going to be bolstered by the realities that we're going to face with climate change and everything. And though it is bleak, you know, at the same time, it's also spurring action, which is so incredible and fantastic.
Absolutely. I mean, I see a lot of negative trends in what concerns the environment and technology as well. I mean, with the development of 5G, that's scary. Oof. The radiation that we'll be exposed
yeah.
to.
Yeah.
And the development of facial recognition technologies and big data yeah. in general. And the development of artificial intelligence and how it's infiltrating all sorts of facets of society, like mm-hmm. Criminal justice in the U.S. But on the positive, we have lots of innovative new ways to decrease the chance of disease. I mean, we're talking about... I don't have the right term here.
Sorry. Stem cell something?
Yeah, cell splicing for...
Yeah, splicing, yeah. right. But... And like you said, and like you've all said, pointing to the movements that we're witnessing around the world, from Chile to Bolivia, Iraq, Lebanon, and Hong Kong. Mm-hmm. I mean, now the U.S. has signed, I think it was a bipartisan bill to put in place a yearly review, like a yearly audit of how things are in Hong Kong mm-hmm. and whether they've maintained their autonomy from mainland China.
Yeah.
So it's an exciting time to be alive, especially as the young people we are, either beginning our university careers as Fiona is or ending it as Elise, Savannah, and I are. Mm-hmm.
But I'm done. There's no possibility I'm going back to school.
No PhD for Savannah?
I am not getting a PhD.
never say never.
Yep, true.
If you've just joined us, this is Petit Four on AUP Radio, brought to you by WRP. It's 9:40. But ladies, let's take a moment to focus on the personal. What have you taken out of the last 10 years, or what do you look forward to in the next decade?
Well... I mean, this is my third degree now. In
Yay.
The last 10 years, I have my associate's, my bachelor's, and now I'm getting my master's, so that's pretty cool.
Congrats, grad.
Yeah. Thank you. And, I mean, I moved to France. I've lived here for 3 years now, and I think that's been the biggest change that I've had in my life. Mm-hmm. And I think it's caused me to grow so, so much in ways I could never have imagined or never, I don't think, would have been possible if I had stayed in the U.S., and I'm really thankful for that. And in the next 10 years, I hope I just have a job I really, really love and something that I'm passionate about and somewhere where I can affect change.
I love that.
Ditto. Yeah, a job would be nice.
Or just any job in general, guys. Honestly, I don't need one that's that great.
Fiona, as you're starting off this next chapter of education, what are you hoping to draw out of the next decade?
Well, for me, my life has changed so much in the past decade. It's sort of... I can't predict anything. I can't really make any conjectures. I mean, I know what I want to do. I know exactly what I want to do, exactly where I want to go. And I mean, I foresee graduating early and a few other things. But I'm just excited to see where change takes me in particular. I just have to be open to change and training myself to accept what I cannot control, but also keeping in mind what is going to change, what I need to keep up with. Mm-hmm. So
change what you nice. Cannot accept, accept what you cannot change. Mm. I didn't say that first, but
I'll say it here.
What about you, Elise?
I don't know. I feel like a lot has changed in the past 10 years, and I'm honestly really excited to see what the future brings. I just, as you said, I think change is exciting. I think it's very nerve-wracking, but I think I just want everyone to be happy. I know that sounds super cliche and just, you know, very optimistic, but I think that... happiness is just honestly, if I can be happy and make everyone else happy and laugh and stuff, I think that's my biggest goal. I don't even know, but I'm excited to see what the future holds and we'll see.
Absolutely. I would just second what you all said. I'm also really excited. I think as long as we stay open to opportunities and we make meaningful connections, life will be very interesting. Mm-hmm. Do agree. You guys have any parting words of wisdom?
Yeah, it's been an honor being on air with you guys. Honestly, it's been an absolute pleasure.
It's been fun.
Yeah.
I love you guys.
It. Yeah, you too. I look forward to it every week.
Me too.
Petit Four segment. It's a good time to just debrief and
mm-hmm. yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, I will, I will lay my wisdom on the listeners. I think the only thing I can really say with certainty that I have learned in the last few years is it's so important to keep the inner child alive. Mm-hmm. And those of you who are somewhat our seniors might and listening might be thinking, okay, these kids are in their 20s. What are they talking about? But society just wants you to set aside emotion, set aside feeling, and think only with your brain and act only with logic and reason. And I really don't think that that's a wholesome way to go about living life. I think life is so much more than making good decisions. And I think it's a lot about feeling and asking ourselves why we feel. So keep that kid alive. You know, when you start to be skeptical, catch yourself. Stop yourself when you slide, not just into prejudice, but any form of judgment. And that's all I'd like to say.
And I want to add one more thing. When you say, like, still keeping the kid alive, 10 years ago I was 16 and I still to this day feel like I'm 16. Mm-hmm. And I hope that maybe in 10 years I still feel 16 in a way.
So it never goes away. Okay, well, we'll cut it there. You've been listening to Petit Fool. Thank you so much for tuning in, and next semester this segment will be rebranded and taken over by the new leadership team, so thank you for listening in.
Thank you.
This was Isabel,
Savannah,
Elise,
Fiona, and we're out.
Hello, WRP Radio listeners. This is Kathleen Sharp, and I'm the host of Paris to Patagonia, a bi-monthly travel show about traveling from Paris to Patagonia, anywhere around the world. Today, I'm joined by my lovely guest. Hello.
Hi.
Tell me a little bit about yourself.
Well, hello, WRP. My name is Chelsea Kalumbu, and I'm from Zimbabwe. I'm a graduate student in AUP, and I'm currently studying global communications.
And the two of us today are going to talk about a uniquely 2010s trend in travel, looking at this phenomenon, which is Instagrammability, and how it affects how people travel and want to travel around the world.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting because travel right now is extremely hot. And that just goes to show how influential Instagram can be. You know, I was reading an article the other day that said 42% of people purchase their tickets based on where they're going. Mm-hmm. On Instagram recommendations. So Instagram is powerful.
Yeah, it's crazy that there's like this drive to like look good and to be in the coolest spot and to post the coolest pictures.
Yeah.
Have you ever found yourself thinking about where you want to travel to based on how the pictures there could turn out or how it could make your followers think about you?
Not really. It's interesting because when I thought about this, I'm personally an avid Google reviewer. So mm-hmm. I review restaurants, locations, hotels. So for me, when I'm picking somewhere to travel, I'm always checking my reviews. I'm checking the people I know who frequently give me information that I like. Okay. So I would say yes and no.
Okay. Yeah. I have definitely, I think, thought to myself about certain places, like, is this gonna look cool in pictures? Yeah. Like, is this gonna be like scenic? Is it,
yeah,
you know, I don't
like
know.
Like, if you're near the beach, you'd wait to take your photo by the water because it'll look so nice there.
There's like this, like, difference between Instagrammability and just something being scenic or beautiful. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I would always prefer to go somewhere scenic and beautiful to somewhere kind of dingy or gross. I mean, maybe I would go somewhere like that for the historical or cultural aspects, like maybe the catacombs. Though I guess you could argue that could be made Instagrammable. But, you know, there's...
And it's also the thing that, like, all of us are photographers now. You know, we all have a camera in our hands. So it depends on your content you're sharing as well. So, yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever been anywhere that you've found especially not conducive to a good picture?
I would say... Not that I can think of off the top of my head. That's the thing, is that I'll always find an Instagrammable moment, whether it's the corner of a street that's covered in graffiti. The rest of the street might look hideous, but that one corner, if it looks amazing, I will crop it. So you just see that one corner and me just in it. So I think there's also a level of like not going somewhere necessarily that's Instagrammable, but finding that perfect Instagrammable moment.
And the camera skills, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to have a good photographer. Necessary.
I read a article online that said that, well, on, that was a list of maybe the 50 top Instagrammable places, which of course is kind of a ludicrous idea to rank places to travel based on just those factors. You know?
Yeah.
But they were saying Norway, Sri Lanka, and Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
And just basically talking about the different major sites that there are there that can contribute to a big
I think
big
for picture. Me, when I was thinking about this topic, the one place that popped up straight in my head was the Pig Beach in the Bahamas. Yeah. You know that place? I think it's called Rock Coral Bay. That's its real name. But that one shows up so much in my Instagram feed. And it's really sad that the pigs are now starting to die because people are feeding them. Yeah, when people show up, people are feeding them like things they shouldn't be eating, like candy, or giving them alcohol. Some people ride them for their photo moment. So there is a positive because when you see the pictures, they look fun. They look cute. You know, you're swimming with pigs in an ocean.
Yeah.
But then on the other side, it's what's happening off the camera.
Yeah. They're not toys, you know?
Yes, exactly. And when you think about that, it's like, who's responsible? Is it the people who are taking the pictures, or is it the government who has to enforce harder laws? Or is this just a new change in our world of travel and we're just going to have to accept it? So, yeah.
I remember reading an article about the effects of geotagging and like tagging your location on the environment in certain trail spots. There was this one spot, like that was this kind of like secluded lake in the middle of a U.S. state park.
Yeah.
And they've started like posting signs actively asking, like, please, if you're on this trail, do not geotag like the site, because we don't want a flock of tourists, because they'd had maybe, I think, 600% increase in the amount of people who were traveling to that spot. And it was like degrading the territory and the land.
Yeah.
Know, when there used to only be really like a handful of people that would come per day or whatever.
And when these spaces get, I don't know, destroyed, who's responsible? You know, that's the biggest question, I feel like, when we talk about Instagrammable locations, is who is responsible for taking care of that environment.
And I think that people in the past used to use, you know, travel guides and books.
Yeah. You know? The travel industry is exploding on Instagram. They're the ones that basically take over the algorithm, because Instagram themselves know that those are the pictures that get the most likes. Mm-hmm. Those are the pictures that always stay at the top. So, but if it's also out of our control, the stuff we see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like nobody, you know, buys a little booklet guide to XYZ country.
No.
It's all online. It's all online.
Yeah.
It's all at your friend's recommendation.
Or a blog, somebody you trust or a blog. Yeah.
And I mean, who's to say if that's for better or for worse? But I think that it's a little bit sad that, you know, everybody is just so influenced by what other people are saying, what they're wanting them to do, like, and follow in their footsteps.
But because Instagram is so influential, I think it's important that we understand that we are the ones to start the change, you know? Mm-hmm. It starts with, number one, picking up your trash and recycling when you can, putting your phone down and enjoying the moment, and also sharing that message. Yeah. And I think that influencers have a big role in that. But at the same time, when companies are paying you to talk about how amazing their hotel is and how amazing their swimming pool and their spa services are, people are not gonna like it when you're talking about, oh, do this, but then also do that. You know?
Yeah.
So there's always a give and take. That's why I was mentioning before, maybe this is just a change in world travel.
Yeah. Yeah. I think so. It's a little bit, I think there are some upsides and downsides. Like you said, like, I think smaller businesses who have like a good marketing plan would be able to, market themselves well and use like different, you know, search engine optimizations to show up at the top of lists, you know, and so you could have small towns or small businesses popping up online and on maps and attracting customers that they wouldn't have otherwise.
Yeah.
So there's kind of like this up and down side to the whole phenomenon.
Yeah. It's really interesting.
And especially, you said you love Google reviews. And like, do you if you see that a place has super good reviews, do you add it to like a list or like somewhere that you want to go?
Exactly that. So I have, my Google is very organized. I have a list of places that I want to go to, a list of places that I need to review, and a list of places that I'm planning on. Well, I work with some companies when it comes to their reviews. So I put those in a special category. And when I'm traveling, it's one of the first things I do is I look up best restaurants in the city, best hotels in the city. And then I go to the places that I trust the most. So it's like certain bloggers or certain people on Instagram who also have blogs. So I do a little bit of both, but I definitely do my research. That's for sure.
Do you have your own travel blog?
No, but I was thinking about it. Yeah, a lot of people have been asking me to do one. Yeah, so I'll think about it.
Well, if you ever do, let me know.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's another. I think that this whole, you know, coming up on 2020 and thinking back to 2010, I was a baby in 2010. How old were you?
Yeah. In 2010, I was 12.
Yeah, I was 10. I was 10.
Yeah.
So, so it, like, but that's about when there started being like Facebook took off.
Yes.
Instagram was launched a couple years later.
Yeah.
Like social media has sprung and spread and taken over
with technology
more than like I think we would have ever expected it to back then. Mm. And the growth of it has had effects on every like economic sector, you know, not only travel, but I think especially travel.
Yeah. And there's some people who literally base their entire life on just being that person who reviews places to travel. So it's kind of glorified now with social media.
Right.
And the fact that travel is so hot right now, it really shows how much Instagram influences people.
Yeah.
A lot of people, especially millennials, are influenced by Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I just watched a YouTube video the other day about the least visited place in the world.
Yeah.
And it was this YouTuber, I forget what his name is, but he was looking at the just Google results for the least tourism, like least touristed places in the world. And he came across this little country that was an island called Tuvalu, and there were only like 12,000 inhabitants or something like that. And he went there and he brought like his drone and he got really cool action pictures and like footage of the island. And it's this tropical island with these really hospitable people.
Yeah.
And now it has like 5.1 million views. And so I'm sure that it could, you know, spring up with people being like, oh, I'm going to go visit the least visited place in the world, you know?
Yes.
And who knows if they're even going to be able to accommodate that many people. Like the YouTuber said that the only other people that were in the plane with him were like people who were working for the UN. Like there was no other tourist. He was the only tourist. The only other person that he found that was, you know, with another nationality or not with UN was someone who was half Tuvaluan anyways. Wow. So
yeah, that's incredible. I also heard that Greece last year had to decrease the amount of people coming on cruise ships into the country because of that. It used to be somewhere around 12,000 and now they had to decrease it to 8,000.
Just because there are too many people.
Yeah. So I feel like Greece is also another place that's kind of went up in popularity, like cities like Santorini and, you know, places like that. They're so popular because of Instagram.
Yeah.
And those picturesque white buildings. Yeah. Next to that blue, beautiful ocean. It's amazing.
Also, I have a friend who just went to Florence, and then she also went to Cinque Terre, like five Earths, whatever it's called in Italy. And, you know, it's like the cliff faces with the, like the yellow and the pink and the blue buildings.
Riley.
And Riley.
Yeah.
Went there. And,
and her Instagram made me want to go there. It's funny that you say that, because when I was watching her story, I was like, wow, I need to go there.
Like, I'm going to add that to my list.
Yeah.
I have a whole, like, you know how you can save posts on Instagram?
Yeah.
I have this whole folder that's just dedicated to travel. So I'll save posts and put it in there. And it's like places that I would like to go to someday. You know, it's like my bucket list. I don't even have like a written list of places that I want to go. It's just all there.
It's all photos.
It's all photos.
Yes.
And I'm not even a great photographer, honestly.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
That's still how I'm like gleaning my travel inspo.
Yeah.
What do you think that the next decade is going to look like with travel?
Well, with travel specifically, I think it's a little complicated because of globalization. But when we're talking about Instagram, I think that the fact that we're going likeless will entice people to look at their popularity through comments.
Okay.
So the more comments you're getting, the type of comments you're getting will be what makes you desirable. So right now, all we're doing is likes. You could just like a photo. But if you're doing something a little crazy in the picture, we're all going to comment and be like, what's happening here? You know?
Yeah.
So I feel like maybe these posts are going to get just a little bit wilder. do I think that's good? No, but I feel like that's the way it's going to go. I feel like people are going to be doing things
that
it's not only a photo, exactly. It's going to be action-based stuff to get people to respond.
So it's more participatory.
Exactly. Yeah. So
which is maybe a good thing. To
spark
some conversation. Well, that about wraps up this episode of Paris to Patagonia.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Chelsea, for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
And thank you, WRP Radio listeners. This is Kathleen Sharp signing off. Have a wonderful evening.
AUP Radio is produced by Savannah Rowe, Fiona McMurray, Elise Chauvel, and Isabelle Guigui. That's me. Our theme music is by Jill Chavitz and Oliver Henry of Chateau Rouge. That's all for tonight on AUP Radio. Tune in tomorrow for more, and have a great night.